Sy Edward Sleuth en sy Twahana en sy Dan is dit het tachini was is chin tachini das che Ado ashini deshanella I just want to introduce myself in that way since I'm Navajo a lot of it. Everybody knows my tribe as Navajo tribe, but the way it's properly set out in where I come from is Dene Nation. And I wanted to just properly introduce myself in that manner. That's in a sense, I'm an ambassador of my tribe, in a sense. So I wanted to do that and just kind of introduce myself in that way. But basically what I was saying is that I am of the Near the Water clan, and I was born for the... this is kind of long one. My dad's side, charcoal streak division of the Red Running Water. And then my grandfather's side is the Red Running Into the Water people. My dad's father is basically the Salt People clan. So in that sense, the proper way to introduce ourselves as far as where we come from and things, it has a lot of similarities to the Hebrew way of, you know, I think Skip's talked about that, is just... When Hebrews introduce themselves, they need, in a sense, know where they're coming from and who they are. They make basically identify themselves of where they come from, you know, what kind of, where the bloodline and things like that. So that's, in a sense, I just wanted to do that this morning to kind of just properly introduce myself in that manner. But I wanted to get into this to our message today, which is trust Proverbs 3:5-6. I just wanted to kind of give you a short testimony of what, you know, how I came across this verse. My wife, in 1999, became a believer through her sister. And being a very traditional person growing up in the Navajo tradition, it was very hard for me to accept that. It was against a lot of what I was taught. So it was that resistance, that long resistance there, until 2005 finally came along in my walk, in a sense. There was a lot of things that happened as far as coming to the Lord. You know, there's some things that happened there that the Lord had spoke to me in truth. But the thing is that, you know, I always tell my wife that this is she's that that woman that's in the 1 Peter 3:1 verse. You know, just wives submit to your husband, and even though that the husband is not in the word, somewhere down the line he's going to come around. So she was that witness for me. She was that witness that basically was out there, and she came to church and those types of things like that. And eventually I came along. But it's that amazing patience that God has for each one of us. We're out there. I think it was mentioned today. I heard it somewhere. That there's a microwave. It's not a microwave. We think everything, we can just push a button and just things will happen right away. And that's kind of what we're in a sense, this world is like right now, is that we want instant gratification. But again, God was just patient with me in that. And again, it almost took 6 years for them to do that, in a sense, you know, for me to resist that long. But after coming to the Lord, again, there's a lot of truths that are involved with that, were contradicting a lot of things that I was still hanging on to. So it was at one point where the pastor that was here before, Skip, you know, Skip had gone away for a little bit, and then we had another pastor here. And it was in this hub here that I was watching the message, and the pastor spoke about Revelation 3:1 or 3:16 is where, you know, where Lord basically speaking to Church of and he's basically saying that, you know, the church was lukewarm. So at that point, when I heard that, he says, you know, I wish you were hot or cold. If you were warm, I'm going to spit you out. That hit me, and I'm thinking, am I for him or am I with him? And so in a sense, I kind of walked away from that. I stepped away a little bit. But God still had a hold of me. And one of the things that, you know, I encourage you guys to listen, and again, this is a spot for the radio station, is that listen to that. I was listening to the radio station, and just, you know, even though I wasn't going to come to church, I was still listening to the radio station, and these messages kept coming up, and there was one that hit me really good, in a sense where a truth came up to where God was basically telling me, what you're hanging on to is not of me. You're either going to choose that or you're going to choose me. So basically it just came to that point where I needed to be with him. I couldn't be against him. I didn't want to be against him. And I was tired of that fight. So basically, again, it was just something that I had to come to realization. But as I was going through that, this verse kept coming up. This Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it just kept coming up. The messages, radio, here, just you know, a brother speaking, it kept coming up. And this verse kept, you know, so I started to kind of put it together to where I thought maybe this is the verse that I need to kind of just guide me in all the choices that I was making. So again, when you look at this, when you look at this verse as it reads there, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your way, acknowledge him in all your ways. And he shall direct your path. It took a while, in a sense, to really understand this verse, but every time I saw the truths in it and breaking it down. But what I wanted to do today is to just as bringing this verse to you guys is kind of paint a picture of two scenarios that I went through, that early part of my walk. But not only that, just the recent trial. The recent scenario that me and my wife have experienced, and if not any, many of you know this, but we were going to have a child, and we lost the child. And it was harder this time around because we had three others that miscarried with her. And this one was hard. It was really hard. It took a lot out of my wife. It was just trying to understand a lot of what she was going through. So I just wanted to just kind of give you two scenarios, you know, the early part of my walk, but not only that, how this verse really resonated with us again, and how it came to life again, and it just breathes even more into us as we look at this. So again, that first part there, I'll just break it down in the four verses that are there. Trust the Lord with all your heart. So trust in the Lord. In that was to resist my will and surrender in submission to God's will. It seemed like all these messages that kept coming up again was just, I needed to let go. I needed to let go of what I was hanging on to, because it was resisting and I wasn't surrendering. That submission. And as men, we don't do that. We don't do that easily. It's very hard for us to submit. We hang on to things, and it's hard for us to humble ourselves and come forward and say that you know, I need help, that I need your assistance, I need this. We can get very stubborn in that. So it was one of those things that surrender and submission to God's will. I didn't understand that, but the more and more it started coming, you know, it was that area of saying, okay. It's hard to trust without knowing where I was going. You know, he has that path ready for you. He has that path that's ready. And a lot of times we don't see that. We don't see where we're going. And it's that faith that we have to keep going and trust in him even more. You know, because I felt uneasy. How am I going to support, you know, my kids? Those type of things like that. And at the time I was kind of going through some financial trouble. And so it was an area of just saying, okay, you know, as a young believer, I have to trust in him anymore, even more. But not only that, it was also recognizing that I was a sinner. That recognizing myself as a sinner, I couldn't, if I didn't recognize that, I couldn't understand that grace that he's given. The amount of grace that he gives, you know, it's overwhelming once you realize that you need help and that you're reaching out for him, calling out. It's that gift. You know, I was taught, as my grandmother used to say, when you get a gift, take care of it. Use it. Don't put it away. Don't put it aside. Take that gift and run with it. And so, you know, this gift, I have to understand, this gift of grace. So once that came to me, it was like, I got to run with this. I got to run with it. So that was the thing that turned me over to, you know, trusting him even more, is to say, it's a gift from him, and to realize that I'm a sinner and that I need his help. So it guided me as a young believer. The next scenario is basically just, again, with my wife. We found out that she was pregnant. And a lot of joy of finding that out. You know, it surprised me because we were sitting there and I was just wondering why she was so quiet. And into this game, I'm watching this game, and then all of a sudden I'm pregnant. Boom, what? And my whole attention was with her. But in some sense, she was kind of worried about it because of her age and the risks. The reason for that is because our previous daughter, she's 3 years old, when she was delivered, my wife had complications, and it was in a sense a risk that we knew that if she was going to have another one, that this is, you know, something that we're going to have to go through. And again, it was that area of we looked at it and said, you know what, this is God's will, so we're going to go with this and trust in the Lord in this. We're going to trust him. So again, that first part of the verse there, trust in the Lord. We said, okay, we'll go ahead and trust the Lord in this one. We're going to let this happen and just, you know, let things go with it and what he wants. But what happened is that this is on August 6th when my wife had scheduled an ultrasound, that we went over and our kids were excited. They were, you know, we went over to the hospital to get this ultrasound, and our kids were so excited, and saying, and especially the 3-year old, she's looking, she goes, I'm gonna get to see baby, I'm gonna get to see baby, the picture. And so we went there, and my wife went in and came out, and she was kind of like, I don't know what's going on. They're telling me that you know, I have to see the doctor. And in some sense, we kind of knew, but in that time, we were in a little bit in the denial there. We were like, you know, this can't be happening again. And sure enough, doctor called us in and said that there was no heartbeat. So it really broke us down. You know, it broke our heart. It we were confused. We were sad for the kids. We were just, in a sense, kind of just in disarray there for a little bit. Until, you know, we realized, you know, we need to get down on our knees in that doctor's office and really pray that, you know, that Lord, this is your will. This is what we're going to do. And, you know, I think we walked out of there, I think, more sad for the kids because they were so excited. They wanted to see either their brother or sister in this. And so when we told them that, you know, we couldn't do that day, they were just, you know, they couldn't understand at that point. We didn't want to tell them right away. But again, it was one of those things that we had to just step back a little bit and really, really look unto the Lord and just realize that we needed to depend on him even more, and our relationship needed to increase in him even more. We needed to identify ourselves with him. We needed to identify ourselves with Christ. So it just fell back on that as far as trusting in him even more. That when I was talking to my wife about this, I said, you know, that Proverbs 3:5-6 is coming right now. And so we got to do this. And so that's what we did, as we trusted him. And then that's just an example of just these two scenarios that I'm talking about. The second part, I always had, this is one of my areas that I, in a sense, kind of fail at times, is that lean not on your own understanding. And I don't know if you're looking at that photo there. sometimes we do that, you know. We think we have it in hand, and, you know, you look at it from a different distance there, you know, someone else will tell you, hey, you're doing something that's not right. And so, you know, we do that, and we get narrow-minded in a sense, and we start to lean on our own understanding. But that's one area that I kept going back to is I struggled with part with coming from a traditional side and just understanding that in traditional side all my years, and then being young in the faith, you know, I had to stop depending on the customs that I was used to. The rituals, the traditional rituals, especially when that doubt crept in. When it crept in, I would think, you know, well, I'm praying, nothing's happening. I need to go back then. I need to look at how grandma taught me, how grandpa taught me. So I would want to step back in that. But again, I think Pastor Nate had talked about this, is that doubt birthed in the mind and is sown by circumstances. And then unbelief is birthed in the heart and sown by the will. So I knew that it was in my mind, but the circumstances is where I started to try to go back to the old ways. I started to, well, I'm losing control in a sense. I don't have control. And I think that's one thing for us men. We desire control in a sense. We want control of the situation. And a lot of times when we're not in control, we walk away from it and, you know, kind of, this is not what I want. And we walk away from that. So, you know, we doubt, we put up fences, we put up walls. And so, in a sense, we harden ourselves to those things. One example I can give you is that when just my son and I was hoping he'd be here today, but he was playing high school football with Dunlarty High, and he had three knee surgeries, two on one side and one on the other, and this was in his sophomore year, and it was getting to a point, even though I was a believer, I was, you know, just praying for him and wanting these things to be healed. It was to a point where I just said, forget it. Me and you, we're going to go. We're going to go back out home. And so I went back home and I took him to this shaman or this medicine lady. And she was praying. And one thing I remember out of that whole thing is that she was praying and she mentioned to me later, she says, It's hard to pray for you. She says, there's something that's around you that I can't understand. And I was trying to figure that out until later on when I came back. I felt so guilty in a sense, so like, you know, God's never forgive me for this, because I went and asked another, you know, a medicine lady to do this and heal him in a sense. And that's when that doubt again came in. And I started to, you know, kind of tell myself that, you know, I'm not good enough for him anymore. I'm not good enough for him anymore. And I started to doubt my in a sense, my salvation. So that was one example that I can remember vividly, because, again, it got me back to saying, you know, I can't depend on that anymore. But eventually, yeah, he got out of those surgeries, and he went on to play his next 2 years in his junior and senior years, and it turned out well for him. One of the things, I think in this learning, lean out on your understanding, is that we don't, and it was mentioned again a couple weeks ago with Pastor Nate, is that we don't train ourselves. We don't train ourselves in going back to Scripture. Once we start to doubt, we start to look other places and look elsewhere. And that's one thing that I needed that I realized in this, and maybe at the time I didn't realize that I was needed to train myself, that I just needed to go back to His Word. And again, I see this, these signs I hear sometimes, WWJD. You know, what would Jesus do? And I think sometimes we just need to go back to that. It's a simple acronym, WWJD. Just go back to him and see what he said and what he did. And it's just to go back to Scripture. Now, after we found out that my wife, as far as the baby, again, I'll tell you, this is August 6th, and she finally miscarried August 26th. So you can kind of see the long period that went on there with her, and it was driving her, as far as her emotions, it was up and down. She started to have dreams, and at one point, I think I remember she was dreaming, but right before I heard her dreaming, I thought I heard, "Dad!" And I thought it was my little one. And I woke up, and I'm looking around. It was so vivid, I could hear it. It was clear. And I got up, and I looked to see if my little one was up. And it wasn't her. So I laid back down, and that's when my wife had this dream, and she was crying, and I asked her what was the dream about, but she said she couldn't remember. She says, "All I know is a baby, but I can't remember the details." So a lot of these dreams that she was having, it was just confusing her. She was sad, and she was just it made her afraid in a sense, and she started to in a sense doubt too. So I started to see the doubt, but that, I guess, in a sense, carried over to me. And so we, with the praying, but not only that, prayer from brothers and sisters in Christ that knew about it, it just seemed like it was just nothing was happening, nothing was going on. And so she struggled with that. And again, it was that spiritual struggle that we go through. And I think when she realized it, and with some of the readings that she was doing, she came across the Galatians 5:17, where we struggle, the flesh wars against the spirit, and it was hard for her to realize that at first until she read that again in it, and she said, "Now I understand what's this battle, this battle that I'm going through." And I asked her, did you doubt a lot? And she said, I doubted some, but she says, "I knew what God's word was about. I knew he was going to be there. I knew that he was going to cover me, but it was the answers. Why these answers were not coming right away." She was asking and yearning for these answers, and they just were not coming. So she didn't. At that time, she said she didn't realize she didn't need. She realized she didn't need to know or understand. She just needed to trust back, trust the Lord. And she had told me that. She says, "I need to trust the Lord even more in this." And so it resonates again with trust the Lord with all your heart. But then she was trying to understand it on what she was coming from, and she realized, "I can't do that. I just got to let God do. I just got to let God take control of this." As for me, as far as the husband, I felt inadequate. I felt like, what was I to say? How was I to react to her to her emotions? And at times, it was like maybe walking on glass. At times, you didn't want to say something wrong or mention something wrong, and she would react in a sense. So I was, in a sense, had to be careful with what I was saying, how I would, as far as my reactions to her, those type of things like that. But again, I felt inadequate to that, because again, it's that area that when you have a wife or maybe even a girlfriend, that you want to fix those circumstances, you want to get in there and see the problem and let me take care of it, let me do something. And when you don't know that, you're trying to figure out where to start. You're trying to figure out, how can I do this? How can I make this right or this wrong right? And so I just felt like that. I felt like I wasn't doing anything. I felt worthless. I felt helpless. I also just pleaded with him and to show me what path to take, what path, and you know that was there for me to take. Again, nothing was happening. Nothing was going on. And then again, it's that area of, I think I came across in Isaiah, that 55:8-9 there. But I had to realize that I had to let the Lord work on my wife and not for me to worry about it. And that His ways are not my ways. And that was one thing that, you know, that came across there, is that His ways are beyond my ways. And that I couldn't depend on my ways. So this part of the verse, you know, really helped me understand that, is that not to go back on my own understanding. Don't go back to that. And it resonated even more with that. And I think, again, like I was saying, that these verses, they started to come more alive in this past month. The third one is, in all your ways acknowledge Him. In this, I guess, as a young believer, I had a mentor. I had a guy that I would talk to from time to time. But one of the things I noticed that he had done is just, he would always point me back to Scripture. But one thing he would always say is that you need to speak to Him. You need to talk to Him. And I didn't realize that. You know, I was like, this had to be a daily relationship with God. It had to be a continual relationship. I couldn't just separate things and say, okay, well, now God can get involved with this part of my life, and that this other part is my life. And so to acknowledge Him, it was all the things that I was doing. It was everything I said, did, my words, my actions. They were magnified now. They were even more revealing, in a sense. Because again, you're out there as a witness, and these things are magnified. People are watching you. People are seeing how you're going to react to things. And so, once, you know, as being a witness, you want to be pointing those that are unbelievers, or those that are in need, back to Him, that He's the solution. So it's not only at that time when I was as a young believer, it was having to know I need to be with Him every day. I need to speak with Him every day. And not only that, whoever's going through these troubles, to point back to Him and to say, this is your solution. I think Pastor Skip mentioned this in one of his messages, is that this is a recurring trust daily. Talk to Him every day. And again, it's just not in a bad situation, that when you're going through something, Lord, I need your help now. I need this help now. You know, it's like you're calling 911 and you're saying, I need you now. You know, it's constantly. It's from that morning you get up and all the way down to when you laid your head down. So it's just recognizing that it was a reoccurring trust daily to talk to Him and see what he wants in my life. For my wife, again, to get back to this recent scenario here, this event that we went through, she was, again, like I mentioned earlier, she was reading a lot. She was reading daily devotionals, and it gave us more of a closeness to the Lord, to God, because it seemed like a lot of these devotionals were just speaking to us and touching those deep feelings, in a sense, of where we're at, and maybe the we, in a sense, felt lost, but then with His words coming through these devotionals. And not only that, when other friends would send us a text or something like that, and we'd see those and say, hey, you know, this was great. We can take this and learn from this. It was not only that, cards that came in gave us those the encouragement as well. So it just gave us that much more of a closeness with God than ever before in this recent era, in recent time. And again, like I mentioned earlier, it's just identifying with Him even more. And so it seemed like his the identification with Him, and just being with Him and knowing that, you know, he he understands where we're at, that he was walking before us. But the one thing is that there wasn't a lot of answers. It was just like comfort. It was those devotions were more of a comfort, but it felt like there was no answers. There was no, like, okay, this is the solution. This is what, you know, this is why you're going through this. And so, again, there was that understanding of, you know, why aren't we understanding this whole thing? So again, just the verse again, it just felt like it was breathing more. It felt like we could. It was like every breath we took, it was Him. It was Him guiding us in that area. We started to, well, as far as our leaning on His power, I think Kevin Miller had spoke about this with Philippians 4:6, and it was really, in a sense, a time that when he spoke about this is the worry part, and then when he went through that again, that resonated again, and that, in a sense, we were down that right path of where God wanted us, is to pray to Him even more, to pray for all the I can't remember the verse right now, but is to pray for supplication and all the things that are needed. So we started to go, you know, pray for the pleading and yearning and the longing and the presence and for the comfort, the well-being, the understanding, the wisdom, the strength, the courage, the energy, even the closure, in a sense. But it seemed again like it seemed like it was just being held back, and there was some anxious times there. So when Kevin talked about this and he mentioned it, it was really fitting in that it gave us some direction again of where we need to be at. And again, in a sense, it gave us that confirmation that, you know, we were down the right line. Receiving prayer, love, and the help from brothers and sisters, that encouraged us daily. It encouraged us that to have brothers and sisters that are asking, how are you doing today? How's your wife? How's it felt great to be around that God's love in that sense. It was great to understand that you had brothers and sisters that really cared and took the time. It helped my wife a lot. I get really emotional with her because, again, like I said earlier, she's the woman that led me, in a sense. And so she hurts, I hurt. And so it's to see her receive all these things, and it felt good. It felt really good. And it was that area of just letting Him take over and letting Him let Him comfort, in a sense, and I can just be there, you know, when she needs me. So it was great to get that encouragement. So I thank you for those that did that for us. It was really encouraging. The last part of that is He shall direct your path. Again, I think you look at the picture there, you know, there could be raging sea in front of us, and yet He can clear it out and make it calm, and He smooths it out for us. As a young believer, just looking at, I was thinking about this, and I was amazed of how the Lord was directing my paths. I didn't know at the time, and when I looked at that, the path that I traveled, God's guidance, He had this plan, this day for me to speak here, and I look at that as, again, His providence, and in that, I didn't see this. Nobody can see the future. Only God sees that. And so with his guidance in that, and I'm looking back, I'm looking at all the things that he's done, and I'm like, wow, you took control of this. And even though if I made maybe a choice that maybe at the time, you know, I could have chose a different path, but in trusting the Lord, you know, he's guided me through all these things. So it's just that amazing path that he's led me through. One of the things I can remember about this, you know, and I look back at it, is being a traditional person, there's one other area out on the reservation there is, and I'm not sure if many of you have heard the Native American Church. They have a lot of, they worship in a sense with peyote. And so this is an hallucinogen, and you take this and basically, in a sense, you go to spirit world, in a sense. And all these meetings, in a sense, I would go to, I always had trouble singing the songs. The songs would not resonate with, or I would say resonate, but I couldn't understand or lead in a song. I could sing along with them, but I just couldn't sing. And I'd asked a couple of guys, the leaders of those churches, and asked them, you know, why is this? Why can't I do this? And all they kept telling me was, you just got to keep going. You just got to keep praying, and it'll come. It'll come. It'll come. But now that I realize that, you know, after becoming a believer, it was the Lord saying, no, that wasn't for you. That wasn't intended for you. That barrier was there. So I see that now, that those songs, those different ritual songs, I had trouble with, never came to me, and I never understood those songs in a sense, because the Lord was there saying, that wasn't for you. I have plans for you. I have different plans for you. Even as a non-believer, he was directing my life again. He was directing those paths. I can remember many times that I should have been dead. I should have been gone, either with, it was an accident, drugs, fights, those kind of things out there. You know, as a young kid, you know, got into those type of things, and it just, many times I can think about that and say, I shouldn't be here. But again, Lord is leading, and he wanted, you know, in a sense, this to happen right here today, this moment. My wife, again, I touch back on that, is that she realized during that time when we were going through this, we had gone and did another appointment, and again, we were still in that area of why hasn't this miscarriage taken on, you know, why hasn't it come sooner? Because the previous ones, when we found out that baby didn't have a heartbeat, is that she would pass this right away, maybe within 3-4 days or something like that. Like I said, that August 6th, and then you look at, it's almost 20 days that it's gone by, and the emotions that she's going through in this. And so we decided, okay, a week before that is to, let's go again. Let's see what the doctor says again. Because there was this, we had it in our mind, this in a sense, a miracle, in a sense. Because she was saying that nothing is coming. Why isn't it coming out? And one of her friends had mentioned to her, she said, I was diagnosed that way too. The doctor told me that, you know, my baby had no heartbeat. And then she says, then it turns out the baby had a heartbeat. So in that same sense, we kind of had that, like, maybe there's something here. Let's go again, because there might be a chance. And God is going to, you know, do a miracle, in a sense. So we went, and she went into that examining room herself, and she was in there, and she said this overwhelming peace just came on her. She prayed, and she was praising the Lord in the examining room, and she said his comfort, his presence, his perfect peace just came on her, and it just seemed like he started to answer things. all her questions were being answered at that time. And I talked to Pastor Carey about this that day. I think he called me and he asked me, "How you doing?" And I told him, I said, "My wife is doing a lot better, but she's got more answers now." And these things were just pouring on her. These truths were just pouring on her, and she was getting these answers. And I could just see the joy in her, in that examining room. And we stood there and said, "Okay, if it's a miracle, it's a miracle. If it's not, it's not." So we have to, go with that and what the Lord's will is. So doctor came in, checked her again, did ultrasound and everything, and then basically confirmed again that the baby was still there, but there was no heartbeat. So it gave her a better idea of that, okay, now I understand where this is at, and that now I just need to let nature take its course, in a sense. So we left from there, but she had a joy about her, and I was looking at her, and I'm like, we're not going to have a baby, but she says, "I know," but God is just revealing things. And so it basically gave us that area that, again, like in Psalm, it says there's a transition. We know that we're in this valley, and then we come out of it. And we come out of it because we know in the end that, it's just temporary, but yet he has better things planned for us, and that these transitions that we go through, these trials, these storms, in a sense. But as I wrote down here, I said, she realized she kept quiet until that very moment. Now he was revealing his understanding and love toward her. And God gave her a verse. And it was, we're at home, and she was preparing some stuff, and she was, Psalm 31:14. And she was, Psalm 31:14 is just right there in front of me. And so we opened the Bible, and here in Psalm 31:14, it basically says that, let me go ahead and pull my notes here. "But as for me, I trust you, O Lord. I say, you are my God." And we looked at that, and then we started to just read the whole thing in context. We wanted to understand the whole psalm, and basically it just pointed, everything that was said in that verse, in that psalm, was basically what she was going through. And it was just, again, the Lord just confirming that I'm your God. I'm in control. And so it just gave her that strength. It refreshed her. Her understanding about the Lord was overwhelming. And that his peace can't be measured. We talk about this God's peace, and we can't understand it. And she was telling me that. She goes, I can't fathom this. She says, it's just this peace on me. And I'm talking about her, but then again, what did it do for me? Like I said, I see this I see this joy in her. And I've looked at this and said, I'm still not, maybe not satisfied on my part as the husband, and just saying, I still don't get this. And then she was reading out of her one of the devotional books that she has, and the devotional book is called, I remember I got this book for her a couple years ago, and it's called Jesus Calling. It's by Sarah Young, and basically it's a book for the women that Jesus is talking to them in a personal way, and telling them things, giving them encouragement and things like that. And on the August 18th date, she read this, and I looked at it, and that's what gave me, in a sense, more of a of the peace that he laid this path out, and that we recognized it at that point. And it says here, it says August 18th, it says, "Expect to encounter adversity in your life, remembering that you live in a deeply fallen world. Stop trying to find a way to circumvent difficulties. The main problem with an easy life is that it masks your need for me. When you became a Christian, I infused my very life into you, empowering you to live on a supernatural plane by depending on me. Anticipate coming face to face with impossibilities, situations totally beyond your ability to handle. This awareness of your inadequacy is not something you should try to evade. And this is where this got to me here. It is precisely where I wanted you, the best place to encounter me in my glory and power. When you see armies of problems marching towards you, cry out to me. Allow me to fight for you. Watch me working on your behalf as you rest in the shadow of my almighty presence. So in a sense, it made me realize that this path that he was carving out for us, and I looked at that and said, this is precisely where he wanted us. And I thought about that and thought, God is not in, there's no time in his realm, but we have a timetable in a sense in this world. And I realized at that point that these things were in a sense allowed to happen, and it was the perfect time in his moment that he revealed that and said, this is where I needed you to be. Dependence on me. And I'm looking at this and saying, for us, little old us, that's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares for us. That's how much, I think at times when we get bogged down with a lot of things going on in our life and we're questioning and things like that, is that we don't realize that he has these things planned out for us. And he's allowing these things to happen so that we can realize how much he loves us. And again, we can grow from it, that we can experience these things and grow from it. So it was just one of those things that really, really opened my eyes on that, and that he had planned this again before the foundations of the earth and heavens. This moment was for us in that sense. So, you know, it was just a time to experience his love and an overwhelming love. What did this teach my wife and I? We're still kind of going through the emotions of this. This morning it was really good to see, in a sense, her old self, in a sense, this morning. And she was dropping me off this morning, and before we were leaving, she says, I'm going to pray for you. And it meant a lot. It meant a lot. Gave me the confidence. You know, I thought I was going to be nervous this morning, and I was a little bit, but then just to hear her pray for me and in a sense lift me up for the Lord, yeah, gave me confidence to come up here and to speak before you guys here. So, but again, it taught us that Romans 12:2, and I think you see that up there. If you read Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation, and I think I got more out of it through the New Living Translation because I understood it more. I read the New King James, but when I read this, I resonated more with this. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So again, it's that area of just knowing that he's been there, you know, and to know that we can't turn back to these customs of this world. We all have, like I'm mentioning here, just my culture, my tribe, but we all come from a background. We have traditions. We have family traditions. We have certain things that we do as families. We go back to those. So we're all part of, you know, we're all from an origin somewhere. And so it just taught me that that we need to not depend on those things that we've learned in a sense from the world. So just to read that, it gave me comfort in that our minds can be changed as a new person. And so this applies to all of us, you know, as new believers, as mature believers. He has a plan for all of us, and that we need to trust Him even more. And I hope you take that. It's to trust Him even more, even though you're going through things right now, or if something's going to come up. And I was looking at this too, and an oxymoron. I had come across this, and I just looked at it. And I said, trust is like taking a confident risk, especially with God. Just taking that confident risk. God is not done with us. He's not. And I think it's one thing I've come away with this again too, is that in Philippians 1:6, where he mentions that he's still molding us, he's still taking care of us, and may take things away. It's kind of like that potter, you know, he's molding us, and at times we have to go through that fire, those types of things. And that's one thing we took away from this too, and we said he's not finished. He's still working. He's still working with us. And one thing that my wife wanted me to mention, and I guess maybe to the guys here, is just to say not to question his way. And that was one thing that she was doing, is questioning his way, until that overwhelming peace came upon her. And because she says, he's the Almighty God. He knows. It's already been written. He's already gone before us in it. He knows. And in all this here, and it just kind of comes back to the title there, is that we realize that this uncommon trust we have in this common world, this honest world, is what we have, and that it's what's been magnified is this uncommon trust. Because we can say trust, but do we really trust Him with all our heart? And that's one thing that we've come away with this. In conclusion, and to finish up with this, is that I would say stubborn guy, very traditional, those type of things. But right now, I think who I am right now, and God is a child of God, humble servant, an heir to His kingdom. And one thing is it was hard to turn over those controls to God. It was very hard to turn those over. And that once He took control, things had turned for the better. I'm also an ambassador of my God to my family, to my tribe, ethnic group. I can go back home and represent the Lord in that sense. And one thing too is that I'm a sinner cleansed by God's grace. Cleansed by His grace. Instead of running from Him now, I'm running towards Him. And getting near to Him each and every day. I came across this in Acts again, and it was one of the scenes that says Peter was talking about. He had a vision. This is Acts 10. He had a vision that these unkosher foods were presented to him, and the Lord, basically God said, "Take this and eat it." And what he says is, he's not so, Lord. I don't eat unclean food. And God basically came back to him and said, don't call what God has cleansed unclean. But he was speaking about the Gentiles in a sense. You know, how the Hebrews had looked at themselves as the chosen people. And that when God put His Holy Spirit into the Gentiles, it was a shock to these, to the Jews that were there, or to the Hebrews that were there. Like, no, this is not for them. Why is it for them? This is only for us. And so Peter comes back and says, this is what God showed me. You know, He's cleansed them. So we can't question that. So it's that one area that says, I'm not a common man. I'm uncommon by the cleansing of God. So I just want you guys to take that with you today, and then that, just to trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will lead you or direct you in your path. That's all I have, guys.